What did he say to get that kind of a reaction? Right? I mean, what did Jesus say to get the people around him thinking that he must be insane? That he was stark raving mad? That he must have, if he's going to talk like that, he must have a demon inside of him. Verse 19 says, at these words, the Jews were again divided. Some of them thought that Jesus made a lot of sense and was a great miracle worker. He had just given sight to a man who had been born blind. But others heard these words from Jesus that Jesus said about himself, and they thought, this guy is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. This guy is not playing with a full deck. This guy is bonkers. What did Jesus say to get this kind of a reaction from people? This is what he said. It's in verse 14. I am the good shepherd. Now, obviously, that might sound weird, but not crazy to us today. Jesus likened himself to a shepherd, one of those people who takes care of the sheep. Jesus already said this in verse 11. We looked at it last Sunday. And he meant it as a criticism of the religious leaders of his day. They were supposed to be good shepherds, taking care of God's good flock, the people of God. But they were miserable failures and had done a horrific job of it. Jesus likened their shepherding to being a hired hand who doesn't care one whit about the sheep. They wouldn't lift a finger for the sheep if the flock was attacked. They'd just run away. And that was on their best day. On other days, they were like thieves and robbers who steal, kill, and destroy the sheep. Steal, kill, and destroy. Those are bad shepherds. But Jesus said that in contrast, he was the good shepherd. Now that word good, we translate it good, it's kalos in the Greek. That word doesn't just mean good. It doesn't mean like 3 stars out of 5, right? Well, how was church today? It was good, right? That's not the good that he's talking about here. That's not good enough. The word could be translated beautiful or noble or true. It's kind of hard to get across, but it's more like the perfect shepherd or the wonderful shepherd or the real deal shepherd, the shepherd par excellence. Maybe the goodest shepherd gets it across. Is that a word, goodest? It is now. I just used it. This is the shepherd that fulfills and embodies all of what a shepherd is supposed to be. 10-10, no notes, right? This is the 10-10, no notes shepherd. If you've ever read the 23rd Psalm, you know which one I'm talking about? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And you see how King David felt about his shepherd? That's what Jesus was claiming to be here for his people. Because if he's the shepherd, then we are the sheep. Today, Landon, Trayton, Keegan, Maria, and Katie are all going to get up on this platform and declare that they are Jesus' sheep and that Jesus is their good shepherd. It takes some humility to admit that you're like a sheep. Because as we said last Sunday, and as I shared at the egg hunt to the families yesterday, sheep are kind of dumb. They are clueless and helpless and needy. It takes humility to admit that you are a sheep and you need someone to care for you, provide for you, protect you, lead you, guide you, and keep you from true harm. But it's true, right? We are needy as people. We're spiritually helpless. We are clueless. We are needy. We need a good shepherd to guide us. And that's what Jesus says he is. He is. He says, I am the good shepherd. And in this passage, verses 14 through 17, Jesus says 3 big things about what that means for us. That he is the good shepherd. If you're taking notes, there's just 3 points. How he takes shepherding to a whole new level. Here's the first one. The good shepherd knows his sheep. We heard that last Sunday too in verses 3, 4, and 5. Jesus said that his sheep will hear his voice as he calls them by name, and that they won't follow a stranger's voice. Now look how he says it in verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus says he knows his sheep. That means personally. He doesn't just know that he has some sheep on a hillside somewhere, right? It's not like, well, yeah, I have a database with all my sheep in it, right? No, he knows our names. He knows our lives. He knows our hearts. He knows our hurts. He knows our joys. He knows our sorrows. He knows our needs. He knows our sins. If you are Jesus' sheep, then Jesus knows you. He knows you intimately. He knows what's going on in your life that is hard right now. He knows what you're struggling with. He is your good shepherd. He knows. In that day, a lot of sheep were kept for their wool. Some were for sacrifice and some were for mutton, but most were just for wool, that wondrous fiber my wife loves so much. So the sheep in that day might live a long time and have the same shepherd that knew them inside and out for their whole lifetime. They had this relationship with their shepherd. If you are Jesus' sheep, then Jesus knows you. This is an invitation to become intimately acquainted with your Savior, with your shepherd, to know Jesus. And look how deeply we can know him. Verse 15 says, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. That's an unbelievable amount of knowing. That we could know Jesus in the same way that God the Father knows God the Son, and that God the Son knows God the Father. That is mind-blowing. The good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows Landon. He knows Trayton. He knows Keegan. He knows Maria. He knows Katie. And today, they proclaim that they know him. Do you know him? Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's number two. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He doesn't just know them. He loves them. And here's how much he loves them. He sacrifices himself for them. Look at verse 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I laid down my life for the sheep. Whoa. Now that's taking shepherding to a whole new level. You can begin to see why it sounded a little crazy to the people listening to him. Because a sheep is worth far less than a shepherd. Shepherds could take some risks to protect their flock. They were valuable. But if the choice is save the sheep or save your life, you're watching the movie, right? You can save the sheep. You can save your life. It's goodbye, sheepy, right? I'm not dying for a sheep. But this good shepherd, Jesus says that as our good shepherd, he plans to lay down his life for the sheep. And how much more worthy was Jesus' life than ours? What's he talking about? He's talking about the cross. He's talking about how he was going to be nailed to a piece of wood and hung up on a pole and struggled to breathe for 3 hours and then die. Why? He was laying down his life for his sheep. The Bible says he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The good shepherd saves his sheep by laying down his life for them in the place of the sheep. And that's what brings us life. Last week, earlier in this chapter, Jesus said that he is the gate. That is, he is the way into life, eternal life, life to the fullness, the fullest. And we get that life by believing in him, by going through the gate, by putting our trust in him as our way in. You just sang about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, the shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep, that whoever, sheep, believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Is that you? Jesus is on the hunt for new sheep to be in his sheepfold. Look at verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. That's him. I love this verse. You know why? Because you and I are in it, right? Jesus is talking about you and me. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. The sheep pen there he's talking about are the Jews. Jesus has other sheep that are non-Jews, Gentiles. They're not the group in front of him on that day. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Do you have the picture in your head? Let's make these two groups. This is one sheep pen over here, okay? You guys are the sheep pen from 0033 AD, okay? Jesus has you, right? And then there's this other sheep pen over here in central Pennsylvania in 2024. And Jesus says, I'm not content to just have these sheep. I'm looking for a bigger flock, other sheep. I must bring them also. And that's us. Like I told the families at the egg hunt yesterday, Jesus isn't just searching for plastic eggs. He's looking for lost sheep to bring them into his sheepfold and give them life to the full. And he will rejoice over them when they come. Rejoice with me. Some of you were there yesterday. Rejoice with me. Yeah, that's what God says. When just one sheep comes into the sheepfold. Verse 16, they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Today, Landon, Trayton, Keegan, Maria, and Katie are proclaiming that they have listened to Jesus' voice and been brought into his one sheepfold. How about you? He's laid down his life for you. And the Father loves him for it. Look at verse 17. The reason my Father loves me is that I laid down my life. Now that doesn't mean that it's the only reason why the Father loves the Son. He loves the Son just because he's the Son. But he's such a good Son. The Father always looks at Jesus and says, Oh, how pleased I am with my beloved Son. Look how obedient he is. Look how submissive he is. Look how he accomplishes his mission. He does what I have commanded. I am so pleased with my son. Look at him laying down his life for those sheep we love. Sometimes we get the idea that the Father and the Son were in conflict with one another about our salvation. Like the Father kind of hated us, but the Son stepped in the way to save us from his meanness. Did you ever get that idea in your head? That's not right. Remember, John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his Son. He sent his Son. They were working in perfect unity to save us from the just wrath of God. And so at the very same time as the Son in his humanity was feeling the hot, righteous anger of God poured out upon him on the cross, the Father was also saying, that's my boy. The reason my Father loves me is that I laid down my life. Then what's he say? only to take it up again. Whoa. Now that is taking shepherding to yet a whole nother level. I mean, it's one thing for a shepherd to take a risk for a sheep. It's another thing for a shepherd to die for a sheep. But this shepherd says that he's going to come back from the dead for his sheep. The good shepherd takes up his life again for his sheep. Here's the idea. A dead shepherd is not a very good shepherd. What good is it to have a dead shepherd? If the shepherd is dead, where does that leave the flock? The sheep are in trouble if the shepherd is dead. How would Psalm 23 read? My shepherd is dead. I will never have what I need. I can't find the green pastures. I can't find the quiet waters. My soul is destroyed. I'm lost. I can't find the paths of righteousness. I'm all alone in the valley of the shadow of death. I fear every evil. I have no comfort. I have no blessings. I can't eat. My enemies are after me. My head is cracked and dry. My cup is empty. Surely evil and disloyal hatred will chase me all the days of my life, and I'm headed to hell forever because my shepherd is dead. That's what would happen to us if Jesus stayed dead. But Jesus said that he would lay down his life only to take it up again. Or that could be translated, so that he would take it up again. In other words, he died in such a way as to earn his victorious resurrection. He had to bounce, right? He had to die, but he died in such a way that death could not hold him. And he came back to life. All week long, I thought I was going to illustrate this by laying down. I'm going to lay down my life and then get back up again. I was kind of afraid that I couldn't get back up again. But Jesus was not afraid he couldn't get back up again. He said, I'm going to lay down and die. And then I'm going to get back up again. And that's exactly what he did. And nobody could do this to him. Jesus claimed that he had the authority to do this, the right, the power. Verse 18, no one takes it from me. I lay down my own life willingly. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Yes, the Jews put him to death. Yes, the Romans put him to death. Yes, it was our sin that held him there. But in the end, it was his choice and no other human's. He had the right to lay it down and the right to take it up again, and he did both. Amen? Christ is risen. He's no longer a dead shepherd. He's a living shepherd, an unstoppably living shepherd. He has conquered death. The choir just sang that. Death is conquered. We are free. Christ has won the victory. The kids sang, alive. Alive! Our good shepherd is alive again and forever. And that, I think, is what they thought was crazy. That this guy was claiming to be the kind of good shepherd that not only dies for his sheep, but comes back to life. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? What do you think? Which side are you on? Jesus always creates a division between people, and there's only two sides. Do you think he's crazy? Or are you listening to him? Landon, Trayton, Keegan, Maria, and Katie have decided that they believe that Jesus is the good shepherd who knows them, laid down his life for them, and took up his life again for them So they've listened to his voice and come into his one flock by faith. Praise God.